And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday, November 9th, 2017. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of information to get into. Our guest tonight will be Paul McGuire. His new book, Conquering the Matrix, just arrived. I'm not even sure the ink is dry in this book yet. We have the first copy. We do. Conquering the Matrix by Paul McGuire. He's going to be joining us for at the bottom of this hour for the rest of the show. I'm very looking forward to that conversation. This book even includes, this is so new and so up to date, it even includes some portions about the Las Vegas shooting, Stephen Paddock, in that. Very interesting. A couple of things. Opening the show, I want to just remind people we have 5 hours of programming each and every day, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. That's with the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Now, not too many people, I haven't really gotten a lot of emails about the show content or any kind of feedback on it. If you want to give some feedback, studio@hagmannandhagmann.com. Looking forward to that. Also, 2 to 3, Joe and John have a show as well, the Hagmann Daily Show, and that airs on Global Star, as mine does, Global Star Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. I find that Blog Talk Radio is, well, it's, Blog Talk Radio is connected to Hagmann Report, the Hagmann Report. So if you go to HagmannReport.com, you can get the archive in live, mostly the archive, on our daily show, or Joe and John's daily show, and my show in the morning. But so if you have feedback, go ahead and send it. I'd like to hear it, at least for mine. And I know that John and Joe asked for their feedback on their show as well. I want to thank everyone for supporting us, because we are in, we're in an era right now. I really believe, as we are, being in the alternative media, I think we're seeing where there's a huge, I don't want to say fight, but a huge pushback against the truth. It's a war more than a fight, and it's incredible to see the number of people who, in entities and groups, who are attempting to shut down the truth. And one example of this, and Joe and I were talking before the show, Joe, you can pop on, because I wanted to talk about this just very briefly, and then we'll button this topic up, but jump on. I wanted to talk to you about the rumor of the indictments. What are you seeing about on social media? What are you seeing in terms of the potential indictments coming from Mueller's probe?
Well,
because I want to clear this up. Once and for all, I want to clear this up. Go ahead.
Okay, so before yesterday, we saw and knew what has been said on this show by guests and others, that there were a number of sealed indictments. Some people believe that they were going after the Clinton crime cabal, like the Podestas,
right,
while others believed that they were a continuation against the Trump campaign, like General Flynn and his son, possibly Kushner. And then yesterday came along, and we were getting reports that there were up to 31 sealed indictments.
Okay.
And that they were going to be going against the Clinton crime family.
Yeah. All right.
So this is what's being circulated on social media. People are really buying into this. They think that, you know, Tony Podesta, Mook, a couple of the attorneys on the Clinton side are going to be brought up on charges.
All right. If I can have a moment of your time, I did cover this on my morning show. I kind of went over this very quickly, but just to explain this, because social media is, in my view, there's a lot of misinformation and intended disinformation. And especially information that would lead alternative media sources astray. Now, if you're familiar at all with the court system, if you're not, I fully understand, and it's good that you're not, especially if you're not law enforcement or, you know, that would mean, of course, that you would be involved in perhaps as a defendant. But here's the situation. You've got Mueller working as a special counsel and his team of investigators. Understand that more than half, 10 at the very least, of the investigators, of the, I'll say 16, 18 investigators, attorneys working on behalf of the special counsel are loyal to Obama/Clinton.
Donating the maximum amount of money to the Clinton campaigns and the Obama campaigns, having, you know, worked alongside, you know, with Clinton, with Obama, in a number of different organizations, including as he was in the White House and she was in the State Department. These people are, as you said, loyal to Clinton.
That's
they
right.
are very, they have tunnel vision when it comes to this.
Right. And Mueller himself is a participant in the Uranium One scandal, or the criminal aspect of Uranium One, as is James Comey, Rosenstein. You've got Weissman as well. And these are the people who are in charge or involved in the special counsel. Now please understand, please listen to what I've got to say, because I've been getting emails and in fact, on my Twitter, on my personal Twitter, I've been addressing this as best I can. And on my program. But here's the situation. You've got multiple grand juries. The grand jury in question, where there's supposedly 31 or 33 or double digit indictments, is referenced, is the DC referenced grand jury. Now, that grand jury is not exclusive to the Mueller investigation. They hear other cases. It's just not Mueller. It's just not the special counsel. So when you look at the docket, you have to understand how to interpret, and there's some supposition built into this on both sides, but mostly the supposition, the improper and inaccurate supposition, comes from the social media people who are saying, oh, look at this, 31, 33, 35, however many, this outrageous number, or Hillary's going to be... Stop. Just stop. Stop, stop, stop. Listen to me. Okay? Number one, people are confusing cases with indictments. When they look at the docket, they're seeing cases. They're not seeing indictments, necessarily. The second thing is, since Mueller was appointed special counsel, there have been 460, at minimum, I think the number might be a little bit higher, sealed cases and indictments on the D.C. grand jury docket. Okay, still sealed. Now, when you look at the 31-page indictment that was unsealed, you have to look at when it was filed, and then look at the indictments right, or look at the case numbers and numbers right after that period of time, or right after the testimony. A lot of this, you have to factor a lot of this in. The testimony, the indictment, and when it was filed, and when it was sealed, and then when it was executed. All right. So, if you look at it that way, and interpret the, and again, this goes to interpretation, and you interpret exactly what the case numbers are post, how can I best say this, post Manafort, or around the same time and post Manafort, you're looking at about six, maybe seven cases or sealed indictments. Now, how that translates into double digits, I have no clue.
Well, what I think happened was, from at least what I saw, people were, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, there were a number of indictments filed that were sealed, but they were also in the same district, apparently, where Mueller filed his.
Well, that was in
D.C. So
DC.
Even though they're not, right, even though they're not, there's no names on them, unless somebody leaks the information, there's no way to know what's in the indictments or who's a part of the indictment. So
that's right.
By trying to say, you know, oh, these were all filed by this person for sure without any evidence, it's just,
you've got case numbers like 17-295. I'm just using that as an example. All right. So then you extrapolate from there if you want to get into that supposition phase, but I would discourage any of that. But to think that there are upwards of 30s, you know, in the 30s would be a really far stretch. And I don't know what that is based on, because certainly it's not based on the filings, the actual filings. And when you get into it, look, we deal with, I mean, I've dealt with dockets and docket numbers and cases and indictments for three decades, all right? And it's, so when I see this, it makes me believe that there's, I don't know, I think people are falling for either wishful thinking or a deliberate deception here. At most,
and it's wishful
reasonably,
thinking.
Six
yeah.
or seven. Six
I mean,
or seven.
Who wouldn't want to see the criminal cabal of Washington, D.C. indicted? Who wouldn't want to see these people be held accountable for what they've done?
Well, it gets, you know, look, it gets tiring. And there's no indication. As a matter of fact, when you read the testimony of Carter Page, and I don't know how many people have actually stopped to read the testimony of Carter Page. When you read the testimony of Carter Page, and then you consider Congress, conducted an inquiry of, Donald Trump's personal bodyguard, Keith Schiller, I believe it is, for 6 hours. And the Democrats ahead of time said, well, we're going to spend our time questioning him about the dossier, about that product of fusion GPS. So then you have to think, all right, the Republicans and Democrats, they split their time. So 6 hours, 3 hours, Democrats questioning him about the dossier. But, okay, so that's a different matter altogether. And then however, you look at the, text from the testimony of Carter Page, what there is published, and you can see that this is not going well, that Mueller is in fact on track to go after Donald Trump. So where people are saying that Mueller is working on behalf of Donald Trump and looking at Hillary Clinton to indict her is just beyond me, because there's nothing to support that. And again, you've got Mueller, and if he would do that, and let's use some critical thinking here, if he would do that, and that's not to say he couldn't, but why would he, given the fact that he would be indirectly implicating himself in this, especially with respect to Uranium One and other money scandals. So, and so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, and I'm watching the social networking feed and I'm thinking, man, I'll tell you what, there are going to be a lot of disappointed people. Plus, it really doesn't look good for those. I'm not saying 100% you're wrong, but I would be absolutely knocked over if you were right. I mean, it's just because there's nothing. That would be like winning the lottery, okay? Because it would be just a shot in the dark.
I mean, so
it would be there's no science behind those numbers that the 33, 31, 35, right. Whatever it is.
I just did some digging and I found a Twitter handle. It's at. They yesterday that there was, let's not forget, more and sealed indictments in D.C. are being filed daily. We now have 37 in D.C. and 50 in Virginia.
Okay.
And but they're equating this
I don't
to
doubt
the,
that.
But they're equating this to the
Mueller.
Same investigation. Right.
Right. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because the original sealed indictments were filed in the same court
Man,
does not
why?
Mean
okay.
that these are the same type of indictments or even the same cases or the same people filing them.
Right, right. So this is, so we have to really understand what's going on here with respect to all of this. By the way, Portion of Tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks. OmahaSteaks.com. Use our coupon code at checkout, HH. More on that later. But HH, by the way, OmahaSteaks.com. Enter my code HH in the search bar and get 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. OmahaSteaks.com. HH in the search bar. More on that later. But yeah, it's this whole thing. And I need a steak right now because I need some red meat to get into. But so, you look at this, and you look at the globalists really who are behind this, and we are headed for a coup. We are headed for a coup, and I can see this as plain as day. And I see that the anonymous postings on 4chan, and I wonder sometimes, you know, I wonder. I wonder at what level of intelligence agencies or where in the intelligence agencies are like just putting enough out there, to make it sound good, and then kind of the rest is all just garbage. So that's something to watch for. I would not fall for anonymous postings on any kind of message board. Mm-hmm. I'd pay
or
attention
YouTube
to
videos.
Yeah, or YouTube. Yes, just because you got a channel doesn't mean you're credible.
People try to submit YouTube videos as proof or evidence that against, you know, or for something, and I'll get emails that say, oh yeah, no, that's not right, this is right, and it'll be just some guy talking on the YouTube video without any evidence, without any supporting documents or facts or the verification of any kind. And we were talking about this on our show today. The alternative media is under attack in so many different ways, and we cannot allow ourselves to feed into disinformation and discredit ourselves by not doing basic things. And because we're under such a threat, we have to, you know, go above and beyond what regular journalists do as far as making sure everything that we state as fact is verified, is provable, and that we have the evidence to back it up. And
that's
if we're going to get into the realm of speculation, we have to make sure that we say as much
Absolutely.
That it is speculation. We have to make those distinctions. And some people in the alternative media are not treading careful here.
Yeah,
it's going to get people in a lot of trouble.
Hillary Clinton's already in jail, right? Or
yeah, Podesta's have been arrested.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we see things like this.
My goodness, come
and
on.
And usually you only get one or two people that pick up on it or try to push it on you. But what's so concerning about this is that a number of people are buying into it without any basic evidence whatsoever to support it. Of course we wish it were true that they were going to be indicted, the Hillary Clintons, the Podestas. Of course they should be arrested and thrown in jail.
Exactly.
We're not going to, just because we want it to be so, we can't just abandon all of our standard operating procedure and wish it to be. We have to continue to do what we do.
And I got an email from a listener who said, you know, shame on me. I'm part of the disinformation campaign for not calling out Jeff Sessions.
Huh?
I don't know. Haven't you been listening? Hello, is this thing on?
Apparently not. Stop the hammering.
You know that I'm on the side of you know whoever. Hey Steve, you listening? Clean out your ears. Mueller's got to go, and in fact, a special counsel needs to be appointed to investigate Mueller, Comey, Rosenstein, the entire batch, Uranium One, the emails. Just because Hillary lost the election does not mean that she's off the hook.
Right.
Just because Comey doesn't have a job at the FBI doesn't mean he's off the hook. You know, where these people get this information is just absolutely beyond me. But the bottom line here is, look, the push, and again, I just want to end it here. As far as I can see, you might be able to, and this is reasoned speculation based on the, case numbers, filed in, the DC grand jury, but there's also the Virginia grand jury. But nonetheless, you're looking at maybe six or seven, around at most. Again, that's speculation of cases filed perhaps by Mueller. That's taking into consideration the time factor post indictment or post filing and post testimony, with respect to Mueller. So, maybe. And then that's even, kind of a guess. But it really doesn't matter because the bottom line here is they're going after Donald Trump. I don't believe Mueller's on the side of Donald Trump. I don't think there's any 3D chess going on here. I don't think there's any, oh boy, you know, how smart are they? Come on. Look, in this case, I believe it is what it is, and I believe it's a takedown of Donald Trump or attempted takedown. And if they can't get him this way, they're going to go 25th Amendment. If they can't go 25th Amendment,
so yeah,
boy, God knows.
Let's look at what you just said. So these, the indictments that actually have been filed that we can attribute to Mueller, do you believe that they're just going to be a continuation of going after the campaign and people around Donald Trump?
I think they'll probably snare one or two of the low-hanging fruit on the Clinton side, just to say, look, we're fair. But they can always flip them into plea deals, or plea deals would be good. Or, for example, how the look at the charges against Imran Awan and Hina Alvi, the two mopes that were caught, the two of that criminal cabal of Pakistani foreign nationals in the House. In the House of Congress, okay? You talk about a laundry list. Everything, in my view, from espionage to espionage at the very least, that would make the Rosenbergs blush, perhaps. But they file, what, just one charge against both the husband and wife? Essentially, that's what the major charge would be, which could get pled down. But see, that's I kind of equate that with what Mueller would do. He'd grab somebody, maybe low-hanging fruit from the Hillary side, and say, well, we're being fair because we, you know, it, you got maybe...
Yeah, Hillary picks a name, she throws them under the,
the
bus.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of how I see this playing out. And this Donna Brazile walking back, it's interesting how we're seeing her walk back her Tucker Carlson last night. I watched the tapes of that. Somewhat walking back, or certainly not direct, or addressing the questions directly. I like Tucker Carlson. I like to watch Tucker Carlson's reaction. His face, his TV face. I think it's hilarious, but, yeah, so you have Donna Brazile, writing a book, you know, Hacks, and then, just kind of, it's all in writing, and then she goes on these television shows and kind of tries to walk back what she's already written about. There's something very unusual there going on. Somebody has said, well, maybe she's being gaslighted. Well, wait a second, okay? I think it's more of a case of buyer's remorse or writer's remorse. I probably shouldn't have written that down. I probably shouldn't have written that. And others on the other side are saying, well, she's just, you know, all she's doing is trying to get rich through a book. Really? Oh, man, you know, come on. Look, you don't write that. You don't write what she wrote and then... solely for money. So that's these are some of the issues. I think it's important to talk about. But the issues, though, again, lastly, I'm going to shut up. You got Uranium One, you got the emails, you've got the various things that are taking place, the blocks.
What about the
made up by Congress?
The Fusion GPS guy going to testify. Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, I think he's forced to. Again, now this is congressional testimony. And by the way, this yo-yo that sent me this email about me not calling out Jeff Sessions said Congress can't issue indictments. Of course not. Did I ever say that? Anyway, that's interesting. That has the potential of really being a, in my view anyway, that the Fusion GPS angle before Congress, after they took the Fifth, they meaning the Fusion GPS entity, now having the bank records being supplied to Congress, to the investigative committee, and then Simpson apparently saying, okay, I'll testify. There could be some blowback there that could result in some congressional action being taken, and of course turning that over to the Justice Department, having the Justice Department pursue that. But then Sessions recused himself from supposedly from the Russian aspect. Now, you have to ask yourself, what did Sessions recuse himself from? Was it just Donald Trump and the Russians, or was it a full Russian recusal? We have to take a look at that, but that could have some legs to it. And where's that going to come from? Is it going to come from Mueller? No, it's going to come from Congress, congressional investigations.
Okay. Well, either way, it will be interesting. As the they were looking yesterday, we mentioned this about Fusion GPS possibly paying off journalists to push the Russia collusion narrative in the news. And financial records are only going to be released to Congress. They're going to be classified outside of that, so we're not going to be able to look at them. We'll only be able to hear what they are referred to as in the public hearings, which is interesting. But
right,
I really do want to see what comes out of that. I mean, is the guy going to be able to plead the fifth? Is he going to make up a story? Is he going to put it all out there?
Well, I think once if Congress is able to obtain the bank records and put that, use a forensic accountant to put that together, then in my view, and this is based on my experience, he better testify.
Yeah.
So,
or face jail time. When we come back, we will be joined by Paul McGuire. He got his new book out, Conquering the Matrix, and we're going to be talking with him about his book and a number of other important news, current events, and prophetic things that are ongoing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this network break.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report on this Thursday. We're going to be joined by Paul McGuire in just a few moments, but first, some important news. WikiLeaks has released Vault 8. It is showing how the CIA hacking tools are able to mimic hacking from any other country computer, and they can disguise their hacks by, let's take the Russian Trump...
Misdirected attribution.
And this is called Vault 8. You can get the Vault 8 download. It's actually on Drudge right now. It's been out since early this morning, and it's the file called Hive. That was what was released today. It's interesting to take a look at. I don't really understand a lot of it, but there's some charts and diagrams there that show you exactly how it works. There's also an article there on Hagmann Report from RT earlier today that has a link to the file as well. Also, Peter Chowka has written a new article that's up on Hagmann Report, Fox Business Network, The Thinking Man's Fox News. And check that out. I just was skimming through this after he posted it just a few moments ago.
I knew about... I got to tell you something. Fox Business News, Lou Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
He's always been good. He's been good for a long time.
And I can relate to Lou Dobbs. I can relate to him. I like the way he talks. You know what I'm talking about out there, don't you? Yeah, you do. But I like that. And he's broken a lot of very good financial news stories. And Peter Chowka is one of the most talented writers, but he's something a little bit more than a talented writer. He's able to ferret out the nuggets, the gold nuggets out there. And watch Peter very carefully. As a matter of fact, do yourself a favor. Follow Peter on Twitter, at P. Chowka, okay, on Twitter. Follow him, because you'll get it. You'll get the information before anyone else does. And also follow us on Twitter as well, our Hagmann Report Twitter. And I'm at Hagmann PI, Joe. I'm not sure. What are you at, Joe Hagmann?
Joe Hagmann.
All right. And our views, by the way, our view, like my views at Hagmann PI are my own. And, of course, Hagmann Reporters are. So go ahead.
So, yeah, the WikiLeaks Vault 8, there's a great piece up there about that. Also on Hagmann Report, there are a few interesting articles. You mentioned Tucker Carlson. He interviewed Donna Brazile. And there's an article there that shows you a clip from that interview, which I think is pretty interesting. And also, there's a piece up there that is kind of an interesting piece of news. Chinese space station to crash down on Europe after the new year. An 8.5-ton space station, which has been decaying orbit since March of last year, is expected to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere in just a few months. And they're saying there's a great possibility that it could hit Europe upon its re-entry. That's something to keep your eyes on there. And we'll talk to Stan about that.
How would you like that? You know, high nationwide? Yeah. I had a space station that come through my house. Am I covered for that?
Yeah.
No, I'm not covered. I need a rider for a space station coming through my house? Come on. Really? I didn't check the box where it says space debris. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things in this article, they have a video there in the article that talks about how much space debris is actually in our orbit, and it's a lot.
Well, again, my wife makes me wear the bicycle helmet outside and inside, too, for that matter, because I keep hitting my head. And Eric the tech, that's right. Eric the tech, you got to mic him up. He does throw things at me, and it's they're picking on me. They are. You know, sometimes we just have to laugh at ourselves. And because, look, this news is heavy, and that's why you got to smell the flowers, take a walk, just laugh at yourself sometimes. But yeah, Paul McGuire is joining us right now. Are we ready for him?
Yeah.
That's good.
His website is paulmcguire.us. His new book, Conquering the Matrix, and this is a book we just received today, and I started to read it and skim through it. It looks very interesting. It is his latest work, and we're going to bring Paul on right now. Paul, welcome back to the Hagmann Report.
Gentlemen, it's an honor, and it's great. It's great to actually hear your voices and talk with you again. I really appreciate the privilege of being on your program tonight.
Well, it's our privilege to have you, Paul. It's great to hear you. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on video for whatever reason that is, but hey, nonetheless, audio does just fine. Got your book, and I got to tell you, you know, you're talk about being like very current. Even in this book, you reference the latest war, the shooting in Las Vegas, and talk about Stephen Paddock and talk about situations there. My goodness, it's an interesting book, and I'm showing the book up on video for the people watching on YouTube. Conquering the Matrix is the name of the book. It's a great read. It really is a lot of great information, a lot of new information, and it connects some dots of your previous books. Thank you for writing it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I apologize because I was rushing to FedEx, and I wanted to personally sign a copy to you and Joe and John, but I wanted to get it there, so I'll be sending you other copies with a signature. That was my intent to begin with.
Oh, well, well, thanks. No worries at all. I was surprised at how quickly it came. It was before 8 o'clock this morning, and which is amazing. If you think about it, isn't that amazing? Cross country in just hours.
Hours, because I got to FedEx at the last minutes before they closed. So I was surprised too when they promised that date.
Paul, I do the same thing. I got to tell you, I'm usually like the last person, and they know me down there, so they kind of hold the door open for me, you know.
Right.
It's funny, but real guys and real events. Paul McGuire, of course, is our guest, and paulmcguire.us is his website. Conquering the Matrix is his new book. Fantastic read. Where do you want to start? Where do you want to start tonight? I mean, the book is going to have to be the topic because, right? I mean, with everything in there. All right. Because
I think I don't want to sound like I'm just selling a book. I mean, of course, I'm talking about it, but there's more important things. By the grace of God, so many of the contents of the books is like right up to the second. We were able to get the Vegas shooter in there and what I think really happened. And we deal with this. Maybe we should start here, you know?
Sure.
The term consciousness is not a new age term, as you guys know. It's just, it's the psychological term for, I guess, our total awareness, the sphere in which we think, consciousness. So, despite the fact that I had one particular person who accused me of, I have to laugh about this, accused me of falsifying the fact that I majored in an altered state of consciousness at the University of Missouri, along with filmmaking. That was my first scientific study of altered states of consciousness from a psychological perspective. And the reason I laugh at the accusation that I never, majored in that, and that the school never offered it, is that in order to go for my master's in divinity, and eventually got my PhD in Bible prophecy from a major seminary, I had to prove that I took these courses like altered states of consciousness and that I majored in that. So, I have the paperwork. I couldn't have got into the divinity school if I didn't supply the paperwork. But there's a lot of people out there, as you know, that are dishonest, and they twist the truth, and they fire at anybody who is attempting to communicate the truth, especially if these people are Christians or conservatives. And on top of that, many of these people, and I'm not accusing anyone in particular, but there are a significant percentage that are like unofficially on the payroll of this Soros Frankenstein machine that he calls, the Tides Foundation and the other stuff. And as you guys know, Soros dropped $18 billion just last week to all out fund all these radical groups, such as, and I want to be careful the way I say this.
Because he transferred the money to the Open Society, which is the main political arm in which he finances all these different groups and political interventions.
Absolutely.
That he has.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very difficult to pin down the precise nature. So what I'm saying is not, I'm not making an accusatory fact. I'm saying I'm suspicious of, and based on the research that secular mainstream media has done, there's all these financial connections between the big super billionaires, the big globalist elite people, and all these radical revolutionary groups that I believe want nothing less than a regime change. They want to rip Trump out of office, either alive or dead, and they want to topple the present form of government in the United States and turn it into a, at first, a soft totalitarian regime where all our freedoms are gone, et cetera, et cetera. But it's nothing new to you guys and many of your viewers and listeners. The globalist elite, the international banking families, and they're all, by the way, as you guys know, at the top of this organizational structure. I call it Lucifer's organizational flowchart, which is on the back of the U.S. dollar. It's a pyramid structure with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer on the top, and on the bottom, the words from Latin mean New World Order. And it's a hierarchy, a hierarchical structure. So this globalist elite, of which Soros and others are agents of, and I suspect, more than suspect, but people like Bill Gates and others are also agents of this, they're using, through their foundations, they're using billions of dollars of investments to literally create a revolution in our nation. And back in the 60s, during the 60s and early 70s counterculture, you know, of which I personally was a part of, the same players financed the counterculture, the Weathermen, the anti-war demonstrations. These radical groups in the 60s and 70s were not just spontaneously rising up. They were financed by Rockefeller, the Council on Foreign Relations guys, and the international banking families. And as you guys know also, that they financed both sides of the war during World War II. They financed both sides of the war in World War I. And they continue to fight both sides of huge conflicts because their game plan, and when people doubt that, you know, that material is readily available. I have it written in my book, The Day the Dollar Died, a whole list of the international banking families, including Wall Street, including the Bush family, that financed Adolf Hitler. And it was the same group that also financed Trotsky and the Bolshevik revolution and the communist revolution in Russia. So they financed both sides because their own motto of Freemasonry and the Illuminati is order out of chaos. That's their motto, which really means new world order out of chaos. And that comes from the Hegelian dialectic, where you take two opposites. You take like capitalism and you take like communism, and they're both financed by the international bankers. And the goal of the international bankers financing capitalism and communism is to bring the masses into a middle zone, like democratic socialism, which is a myth, but to bring the people into the middle. So you have thesis and antithesis, and the goal is to bring people into the middle, which is synthesis. And that's the psychological chessboard upon which they play. But here we have in the United States of America, and this haunts me. It's haunted me since I was a revolutionary in counterculture, the 60s and 70s, participating at the age of 15 years old, demonstrating with Abby Hoffman. The Weather Underground tried to recruit me. I was part of many demonstrations, and I ended up as a young kid in the secret private meetings of the counterculture communist leaders. And the only reason I was allowed to be in there because I was 15, and, you know, idealistic, so they kind of like were trying to mentor me. And I never forget them saying in this meeting, Abbie Hoffman was there. Soros used to hang out in these groups. I don't know if he was actually in this meeting or not. This particular meeting took place in Manhattan at one of the very first Earth Day celebrations. So all these big counterculture honchos were there, and they basically said, now that the Vietnam War is over, we need to get the people in order to lead them in our revolution. We've got to have a new cause. And so they announced in this meeting that the new cause, now that the Vietnam War was over, would be environmentalism and ecology. That would be the manufactured crisis of, you know, an apocalyptic environmental disaster would be their new Trojan horse to tear down our society. And we saw how that played out, that that's what they're still using. So these bankers and occult globalist elite that are very real, of which Soros represents. I mean, Soros is not just some smart guy who makes smart investments. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to believe that. He gets insider information, and he's obviously taking orders from somebody like Rothschild. So right now in America, we are, as I've said before, America is currently in the most dangerous place it has ever been since its history, and the very real possibility exists that, given the right sequence of major crises, manufactured crises, a terrorist attack or whatever, we could at any time, like today or in, you know, 6 months from now, if the right set of circumstances play out, we could see a state of emergency, martial law declared. That would be the end of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and this invisible government, this shadow government, this deep state would take over America and run it like they have said publicly they want to run it, as a world communist state or a world socialist state. And that is the end of America. And anybody listening who thinks that's going to be like this rosy, utopian, workers' paradise, we'll get social justice, we'll equally distribute the money, and everybody will be better off because we'll all have health care. If you believe that regarding the announced plans, like the millennials do, and you guys read all the articles about how the millennial generation is the first generation of young Americans where like some over around 70% of them believe that it would be better for America and the world if America became a communist nation. And then ironically, this same group of millennials has almost the same percentage, 71%, where they can't even tell you coherently what communism is all about. So they're advocating communism, a communist takeover, but they don't know what communism is about. They've never seen the pictures of the hundreds of millions of people murdered, slaughtered, shot, and starved by communist revolutions, the oppression, the nightmares, and the horror. They have no clue because they've been deliberately brainwashed and dumbed down by the educational system.
Right. Now, if I can ask you a question, because a lot of people, you brought up such a very interesting point, and I apologize in advance for asking, interrupting your train of thought, but I think this is extremely important. You said you said a phrase that many people, it probably went over people's heads listening, because, you know, of just all the amount of information you provide. You mentioned socialism versus democratic socialism. Now, here's my question to you, because I've seen some recent videos of Bernie Sanders and others talking about, well, you know, no, like Sweden, they're all talking about the Nordic socialism utopia. All right. Can you address the difference or the myth of democratic socialism? Because there is no, in my view anyway, there's no distinction between democratic socialism and socialism. Socialism is socialism. Nordic socialism, that utopia, meaning democratic socialism, is a myth. It is just a bunch of bunk. It's whatever. But can you just address that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to, because this is such an important question, and the major strategy used by these Marxist professors who are artificially senile. Okay, and they really are. They're stupid men. I mean, I was taught by them at the University of Missouri. They were stupid back then, and they're stupid now. And the argument I would always hear from communists and socialists and revolutionaries is the argument you just raised. And in fact, my best friend, or one of my best friends when I was a kid growing up in Jackson Heights, Queens, he was a big-time advertising agency executive. And he became a communist Marxist revolutionary while still working in advertising. And we were walking to this, we bumped into each other walking to the subway one morning. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he had never said this before to me, he said, he basically announced that he was a communist and a revolutionary. And, you know, I was a hippie. I had, hair down to my posterior and stuff, and demonstrating with Abby Hoffman and smoking dope and stuff. But, you know, even in my rebellious stupidity, before even talking to this guy, you know, thank God, I had half a brain. And so, like, I never could buy the communist seduction, because I knew for a fact that it failed in every single nation without exception. And it never promised to deliver. It brought dictatorship in, mass murder. And the excuse they would always give, and this ad agency guy, because I asked him, I said, well, where's the proof that these societies, communist revolutions, ever work? And he said, well, you know, communism has evolved into democratic socialism, and he painted this utopia picture. And then he quoted, as they always do, these Scandinavian countries that are socialist heading towards communists, that superficially prove that communism works. And that is the biggest bunch of hogwash that anybody could throw at you, because it's a total lie. And the reason it's a total lie is that the Scandinavian nations that the communists are always pointing to in their total desperation to say communism works, they forget to tell people that these Scandinavian nations that turn socialist are the beneficiaries economically and psychologically and as a society. Their prosperity flows right out of the fact that the previous generation of Scandinavians had a Protestant hard work ethic. They had a strong capitalist society. The people made money. The people accumulated wealth. They were allowed to own private possessions and private ownership, which communism says you can't. And so the reason for the success of democratic socialism, which is supposed to be proof of the success of communism, is built on this lie regarding these Swedish Scandinavian nations. The truth is, the reason that they are prosperous has nothing to do with communism or socialism. They're prosperous because they had these enormous resources economically to draw upon from their parents, and the enormous assets and land and wealth and hard work and capitalist principles that their parents and grandparents produced. And so they had this enormous surplus of wealth and prosperity that came right out of the capitalism. So when they converted over to so-called socialism, they were able to finance it through their fathers and mothers and grandparents' hard Christian work ethic and capitalism. So the success of Sweden and the democratic socialist countries has absolutely nothing to do with Marxism or socialism or capitalism. It has to do with the fact that they were able to draw on incredible financial resources from their capitalist parents and their Christian parents. And now, as that lie has continued to be told over the last number of decades, the truth of the matter is these nations that are pointed to as the proof of the victory of communism are falling apart economically because they've bankrupted the monies that their parents and grandparents accumulated, and they've allowed all these illegal immigrants from the terrorist nations in, and they have all these people living on welfare. And so these nations that are pointed out as proof of the success of communism are crashing and burning. They're falling before our very eyes. So to make a long story short, and if you're talking to somebody who's some communist ideologue, whether it's the guy on CNN, Van Jones, or whatever, I mean, the guy needs a slap in the face. He's in a hypnotic trance. He's a brilliant, articulate guy, except he has one fatal flaw. Half of his brain doesn't work. He cannot acknowledge the historical fact that without exception, every communist, socialist nation, Marxist nation, that ever was born through revolution or whatever, every single one of them have been a total failure economically. They've always brought... Sorry.
Paul, hold that thought. We're going to pick up right here on the other side. I was waiting for you to finish that point, but it sounds like you got a little bit more to go. So we're going to take this quick network break, and we're going to come right back and pick up right where you left off in
brilliant
communist nations and their histories. We'll be right back with Paul McGuire after this.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. timberprofits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288. PreciousTimberProfits.com. Precious Timber Profits.